Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi, this is Jim White, and thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. On today's episode, we hear from all the parties involved in the heavyweight fight between Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury. The fight looks set to go ahead, but that didn't stop Tyson Fury calling out Simon on social media. And we also discuss the future of Wilfred Zaha. Could the Crystal Palace man be heading to play in Saudi Arabia next season?
Simon, good morning.
Morning.
It's going to be a busy one this morning. There's a lot going on out there, not least all this situation regarding Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury. Anyone I've bumped into since you and I came off here at 1 o'clock yesterday, Simon, has said the same thing to me. Getting a bit fed up now with Tyson. Getting a bit fed up with all his outbursts on social media.
Yep.
What do we believe? What do we believe? Is it going to happen, this fight?
Well, I don't think you can be any more unequivocal than Frank Warren was yesterday afternoon. I spoke to him yesterday afternoon. I know he went on Drive as well with, I think, Andy Goldstein and his mob. And he is absolutely adamant it's a done deal. I would suspect that there's an element of last worditis going on in terms of Tyson Fury has turned around and said, it's his gift. I don't agree that the split of the fight is right, but Usyk's taken that split. And Tyson Fury's made his pitch and made his position clear. He believes he's the number one fighter in the world, the A side of every single conversation, every single argument, irrespective of who's in it. He said 70-30. Usyk agrees, comes back with his last word being, and by the way, on top of that, you know, I want £1 million for Ukraine. So Fury comes back, well, I'm tired of your nonsense and your noise, and you think you're going to have the last word. Last word is, we have one fight. You think you can beat me? No rematches. No clauses there and afterwards. Straight down the barrel, winner takes all.
Well, I quite like that. Did
now,
you
I like that. Now, if there is one single deviation from that position, and if Usyk agrees to it, because don't forget what his manager said yesterday, which is, we didn't ask for the rematch clause. Fury put it in there. Right, which means Fury can take it out then. If he's taken it out and there's nothing, there could be nothing else possibly in the mix, this fight, as far as I'm concerned, is a done deal.
Well,
it's done.
Exactly, Simon. I'm glad you've said that. I mean, Alexander Usyk made it pretty clear the last time he went on social media yesterday regards the dropping of that rematch clause.
Greedy belly, rematch clause come from your side, not mine. Stop whining and ducking. Be a man. Ink the contract or vacate the belt. I need undisputed. And not to play your stupid games.
Well, he's not wrong in any of that, is he?
And that's fine. And I do believe that ultimately there is an element of silly last worditis going on. But if a greedy belly has put that clause in there in the first place,
yeah,
and you didn't need it there, then as a matter of principle, if that's what you want to die on and die on that particular hill, don't bother with it. Just take the rematch clause out because you didn't ask for it. Done. End of conversation. There's no more wiggle room. There's no more discussion. There's no more media posts from Tyson Fury. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury is fit. He's ready to fight. He's not ready to fight. He's ready to fight. There's no argument that Gareth Davis was putting forward yesterday that he's not ready to fight. As far as I'm understanding from Frank, and it's a long conversation I had with him yesterday afternoon, it's a done deal. They're good to go. Last bit about taking the rematch clause out. This is my version of it, not Frank Warren's version of it, that it's last worditis. If you don't care about the rematch clause, Usyk, take it out then.
Well, that's right. That's right. And I'm glad you said that, Simon. I'm glad Usyk has said what he said, because Usyk's promoter previous to that, Alexander Krasiuk, had said, we've had enough of this at the moment. Do you know what? I'm not sure this is going ahead on April 29.
Usyk wants this fight badly. He cannot fight just by himself. He needs
an opponent in the ring, and his opponent is ducking him. So that's why I don't feel this fight will take place on April 29th, whatever conditions Usyk will accept.
So that was Alexander Krasiuk speaking to Simon and myself yesterday, and then later Simon said on Drive with Goldstein and the rest, this was Frank Warren.
Both boxers have agreed to the split, and it'll be on. You know, it's just a matter of contracts, but they're not going to be a problem. I know we'll get this on. And I was just listening to what both of the guys have said today. And from Tyson's perspective, you know, he's just basically putting it out there that, what, just put it all on the table. You know, why you want a rematch? Let's just get on with the fight.
Well, we do keep hearing this from Frank, though, Simon, yeah. Don't we? And you can understand why there's doubt there amongst fight fans who are the most important people of the lot.
In fairness to Frank, he's always left a qualified element, because when we've gone, well, it's done, Frank. Yeah, it's done, but it's not signed yet. It's done, Frank, isn't it? And every conversation we've had over the last 3 months and we've pushed him on it, it's always been an element of, just at the last minute, a slight qualification. That wasn't a qualified response. That was, it's done. It's done.
Yeah.
This fight will happen.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if it doesn't happen, then Frank's credibility comes into play and his ability to be able to deliver big... Well, yes, of course it does. The ability to deliver big fights will become under scrutiny. From what I can gather, and it's not because I'm leaning towards Frank Warren and have a particular empathy towards him, we all want to see this fight. We're all a bit tired of some of Tyson's histrionics. The main thing we want to do is see Tyson Fury in the ring, because that's where he does his best talking, in my view.
Yes.
Right? So with that in mind, my impression... last week was, I didn't think it would get done. I didn't think it would get done because I thought there were too many things in the way of it and there were too many difficulties. The fact that Usyk took away the difficulty that I thought would be the overriding difficulty, which was the split, Usyk took that away. He doesn't have an issue with the split. I think he should, but he doesn't, right? So he's made that happen. He's made the fight happen. And I said to Frank, ain't you guys that made this fight happen. It's Usyk being able to take 30%.
Well, that's right.
He says, well, hang on a second. I push for my fighter. My job is to get my fighter the best deal, not to get their fighter the best deal.
You see, I think when it comes to credibility, Simon, Usyk's coming out of this in glowing terms. 30 for me, 70 for him. Yeah, do you know what? I'll take that. I believe in myself. But here's the thing, for my war-torn country, Ukraine, I want a million.
And that's fine. And that's fine. And that's great. And we can all herald that situation. But
we should.
As far as the argument is concerned, and I make the argument, I think it should be near a 60-40 split, and they bring the three belts to the table. But we also know that Fury puts 94,000 people in Wembley Stadium.
True.
We know that, right? And the situation is that the money that was on the table, whether Fury wanted too much money from the outset and ultimately wanted certain guarantees and couldn't get them, and the split's made up for that... We can all pontificate on that.
Yeah.
I think now this fight will happen. I think this is all great media stuff. It's all grist for the elbow of the fight in terms of the more media. When you hear about people like, Gary, oh, I don't think get this fight on, what are you talking about? They'll sell 94,000 tickets in a couple of days for this fight. It's a pay-per-view fight, so it's a plug and play, so it doesn't need particularly much involvement from the broadcasters. This fight, in my view, will happen. And all the background noise will be forgotten, and Tyson Fury will beat Alexander Usyk, in my view.
Does there not need to be some kind of hard and fast deadline, though? Have we ever known anything like this? Still doubt around it, and it's 6 weeks out.
Well, these are unique things, these big fights. How many times has Undisputed come round? I think the last time it came round was Lennox Lewis, wasn't it?
Was it really?
So it's a generation.
That long ago?
It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, there have been opportunities to perhaps make them, but not real opportunities. The actual real outcome was only last done by Lennox Lewis. Now, here we are in a situation where you've got Tyson Fury, who opened up the entire heavyweight division for everybody by beating Vladimir Klitschko in 2015, coming back, dealing with Deontay Wilder. We do need to see him complete this idea of the fact that he's a generational legacy fighter. The more we talk about it, the more the build-up to the fight, including the debate whether it's going to happen, it will fuel the interest, it'll fuel the demand. Frank Warren will be sitting in his car right now, rubbing his hands, going, keep talking about it, lads, keep talking about it. I know what I know. You don't know what you don't know. And ultimately, the bottom line is, we keep on getting media column inches, and that will add more value to the fight. I'd be gobsmacked if this fight doesn't happen now.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
We've heard from everybody who's anybody in this saga regarding Usyk Fury at Wembley on the April the 29th. Is it going to happen? We still don't have confirmation from it. We heard from Alexander Usyk yesterday saying 30, 70. I've even agreed to that, but I want £1 million sent to my fighting fund in Ukraine. I also back my manager and promoter, Alex Krasiuk, with everything he says. They call Tyson Fury greedy belly and say that Fury's ducking the fight. They doubt a if it will happen. Certainly Krasiuk doubts if it will happen. But Frank Warren came on Drive on TalkSport yesterday saying, forget it, it will happen. It will happen. Put all this to one side, the fight will happen. And then in the last few moments, Tyson Fury has gone off and won. My friend Mr. Jordan gets a mention, but this was Fury on where he's at with it all in the last few moments. Strap yourselves in.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm f***ing ready to rock and roll. I wish it was this weekend. Who sent you gappy teeth, ugly, bug-eyed rabbit cat, ugly piece of f***? You are getting knocked the f*** out. And for all the haters out there as well, a massive f*** you, because they got 70% of the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. Simon Jordan, you a little f***. No wonder you lost 100 million f***. Wrong business, you little sausage. Joe Parker, we cannot wait.
Can't
wait. Cruiserweights are getting smashed. Christian, strongest I've ever been.
He's a monster.
I'm a f***ing monster. Ah! Cruiserweights are getting demolished. Get up.
Now, my little sausage.
He's a woolly, isn't he? I mean, never mind Gypsy King, he's the Gormless King. He tagged it into Simon Cowell, didn't he? He put it on Instagram, tagged it into Simon Cowell.
So Cowell got all of
that. He's feeble-minded sometimes, isn't he? I mean, the bottom line, he's right, isn't he? I mean, he's maintained his position and got 70-30, so he's maintained that argument. He's right, I did lose a bunch of money. But he's a bit of a berk, isn't he? I mean, the fact of the matter is, we've done nothing but champion him forever and a day to the point where you and I get called Fury fans left, right and centre, and he gets one little bit of criticism and he gets all feeble-minded and weak and offended by it. Good. Keep the noise up, Tyson, because we want you in the ring with Alexander Usyk. I'd like you to come and say these things to us in the studio because you duck all that. What you do is you come along to press conferences, wave your little silly face around for 5 minutes and disappear off with some money you bet Frank Warren with. Look, the bottom line is that I really don't care what Tyson Fury says about me and observations he makes about people's opinions. Do you know what? I've never known an industry where people cannot take any creative or constructive observations.
How about football?
Well, football's... I think boxing is a far more intriguing industry, and he's right. I wish I'd put more money into boxing and some money into boxing rather than into football. I understand his sentiments there. But the moment you say anything to these guys that they don't like, they'll have all the praise. They're worse than footballers. They have all the praise. You're wonderful, Tyson. You're the person that unified them. You know, Tyson, you walk around, you're a walking contradiction. You never pay your bets. You never say what you're going to do. You know, we have boar's meat, you know, that you scoff down your face with Nandrill. And we can have a whole raft of things against you, Tyson, that make you look like a hypocrite. But most of the time, what we do is say, you are the best heavyweight in the world.
Of course.
You are the one that opened the division. But here's a little bit of criticism. And off you are with one of your demented little rants with your little bag carriers in the back going, yeah, yeah, Team Tyson. By the way, can we get paid, Governor? Of course you can. Team Tyson. Oh, get over it. Get on with the fight.
You did say that if he was in here, and you never know, he'd probably come in here at some stage.
Whenever the balls.
Soon.
They're all mouth and trousers.
You would say it to his face.
Well, of course I would. Because the bottom line is that what we've said about Tyson Fury and the observations that we've made that make him want to reference me in that conversation for no reason, I don't know why, are absolutely fair. They're absolutely fair. Where his observations are right is I held out and I got 70-30. Up yours, everybody. I got what I wanted out of it.
Do you know what I would say?
And he's right to say it.
Usyk, to be fair to Usyk, has got what he wanted. I don't think Usyk's that bothered about the 30-70 split. He wanted £1 million for Ukraine and he's got it. Well, and that was part of the deal for him.
I'm not sure. That's a nice...
Now, Tyson's got to remember...
You've got to pay that one.
He's got to pay that one.
Because he never
one.
Does, does he? He goes into Piers Morgan's studio and says, I'm not going to fight, and bets £1 million, doesn't pay it. Talks about paying all the fight proceeds, doesn't pay it. Right? Talks about not a variety of different things, doesn't do it.
And demands a bet that he wins.
Of course.
Because when you and I were at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, he had 10 grand in his hand from Frank Warren.
That doesn't make him much of a man. He's a great fighter and he's a great champion. Right, and we can all shout down the Instagrams where we're sat there with our little acolytes and, you know, spit bucket carriers, and everyone can tell you how wonderful it is. Come and say these things. Not everything has to altercate, not descend into a physicality, but come and debate people. Come and shout across a studio at people like me and see how far you get. Yes, you can punch my face in. Wonderful. Where will that get you? Get your collar felt. But the bottom line is, what it'll get you, disarmed, dismantled, eviscerated, and made to look like the fool you are sometimes. But don't be under the illusion that he still isn't, in my view, the greatest heavyweight around.
Yeah, that was quite a blast from Tyson, which happened in the last few moments. No doubt we will hear it again.
Tag the right people in, you Wally. Gormless King.
It landed at the feet of Simon Cowell. He must have been delighted to receive that.
Maybe Tyson's going to go on the X Factor.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe that's what he's doing it
for.
That's
what he's wanting all along, isn't it?
That's what he could be.
That's what
he could be the Mark Singer, couldn't he?
I will pay tickets for Tyson Fury against Simon Jordan. So would I. I'll be in your corner as well, Tyson. So you've got a nice bit of content, Simon, at least now, for your Top Boxing podcast with Spencer Oliver later this week.
The old GK.
That will be thrown in
there. Gormless King.
But we would say this in all seriousness. Tyson, you're good at these. You have a rant. And of course, when you speak, we all listen. That's why we put that out there. But you are listening this morning, we know you are, because you wanted to hear what Simon's reaction to that would be. So come on live and tell us what you really think.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wilf Zaha. You've got a soft spot for him, haven't you? He's one of your own. He came through your academy at Crystal Palace. Yeah. And to be quite honest, you find it hard to say anything...
Not true.
...of any critical nature towards Wilf Zaha.
Not true.
Oh, yesterday you were singing his praises.
I've said on many occasions I'd like to see Wilf Zaha spending less time with his hands on his hips, rolling around on the floor and getting himself involved in the game. And I've noticed a change in his game since Patrick Vieira came in, and there's more involvement and there's more contribution. I've also said he doesn't score enough goals. So I do criticise Wilf, but I also think he's a remarkable talent.
Okay, that said, the same Wilfred Zaha. In the newspapers this morning, such as The Mail, Zaha offered £320,000 a week by the Saudis. So if it's good for Ronaldo, it's good for Wilf Zaha. Although Ronaldo, you can put a few more zeros on his wage packet. Zaha has a £320,000 a week offer on the table, reportedly, from the Saudi Arabian side Al Ittihad. It's come his way. He's out of contract in the summer. There is interest in Europe, reportedly, from AC Milan. That's by the by, though, because this is mind-blowing money that Zaha, for one, might find it too difficult to turn down. Mm. But would his credibility, Simon, as a footballer not be shot to pieces if he takes a big money move to Saudi Arabia now, this summer, at the age of 30?
Well, OK, in whose eyes?
In the eyes of English football fans. Okay. In the eyes of Palace fans, of course, especially. But in the eyes of English football fans, specifically.
If Crystal Palace fans have any issue with Wilfried Zaha applying his trade somewhere else and choosing where he wants to do that, then they'd be slightly unfair and deluded, because the one thing they cannot argue about is that Wilfried Zaha has put a shift in for Crystal Palace on the whole for the majority of the time.
That's the least he can do, though, isn't it?
Well, it is the least he can do.
Well, you would say that.
It is the least he can do. But notwithstanding that, you can't criticise and not praise in equal measure. A lot of players don't do that. A lot of players would be first ones to get out the door if they possibly could. Wilf went to Man United, came back from Man United, got Palace promoted to the Premier League, and often has been the main reason why Crystal Palace have been able to compete in games.
Really?
Until recently, there was a statistic until recently that Crystal Palace very rarely won a game without Wilfried Zaha being in the team. Now, thank God that statistic has been now rescinded by the inclusion of people like Eze in the side and the next generation of players that are coming through to pick up the mantle that Wilfried Zaha has done for Crystal Palace. I think Wilfried Zaha has had a career that could have gone far bigger and far better. I think the move to Man United was in part his own fault, but also a change of ownership in terms, change of management at Man United.
And he was too young.
Well, no. Wayne Rooney wasn't too young when he went to Manchester United. It's not about age, it's about how you're prepared for it. And Wilfried Zaha wasn't ready for Man United. Man United was in a state of flux, so he has to own that himself. He came back to Crystal Palace. Most of the time, for Crystal Palace, he's been a revelation. Sometimes he's been a disappointment. But I think most Palace fans, if you were to ask them and do a vox pop on Palace fans, what they thought about Wilfried Zaha leaving and going wherever he chose to in the world, they wouldn't begrudge him it. Now, moving to the mainstream media, whose relevance about Wilfried Zaha's career is probably academic, because he's already changed his direction of playing for England and moved to Ivory Coast. If it prejudices his opportunity to play for Ivory Coast, then that may be one discussion. But ultimately, if the money that's being on offered, which we have to look at and say, this can't be good for the game.
No.
It can't be good. This Middle Eastern money has got to be brought into line to some extent. There's got to be some general governance through FIFA and around the world federations to stop this, because it's beginning to unwind sport. You can't get boxing matches made because they've got ideas that they're going to get paid in Saudi Arabia 150 million quid, so it causes fights in this country to be conflicted. You've now got players being dragged across into other countries for ridiculous amounts of money, which then pollutes the whole ecosystem. There's something very unedifying about it. But going to your original question, I'd like to think Wilfried Zaha's on £6.5 million a year at Palace. He's on a lot of money. He's already accumulated a significant amount of money. The challenge for me now is that Wilfried Zaha hasn't put himself in the way of a big challenge in football
exactly
for 8 or 9 years.
Point.
But the reasons why is because Crystal Palace were not prepared to let Arsenal walk in the door and pay 30 million quid for a player that was worth twice that amount in comparison to others. So he's been slightly stymied in that opportunity, because people don't buy footballers from Crystal Palace for 60 million quid for some reason or another.
Is it not? The thought of many is, and to a degree I include myself in this, he spends too much time riding about in the ground.
Well, I said that, didn't
too
I?
Much time protesting to the referee about the mishandling he's getting from opposition defenders. Well, not all of them, Simon. They all don't do that. Why is there not a queue of Premier League clubs knocking on Palace's door saying, we want your man Zaha?
Because this is not an inferiority complex, having been involved with Palace and watching Palace as a vested
you
interest.
You get something about Zaha that you protect and defend.
Because I know how good he is. Ask the football people, and as soon as made a bad opinion about Casemiro, but ask people what they think of Zaha. They know he's a good player.
Has he fulfilled his potential at the age of 30 in English football?
Well, if you're a Crystal Palace fan, some would say yes. If you're a fan of
Simon, can you say that?
Well, I can say it, because if you're a Crystal Palace fan, he's delivered an outcome for Crystal Palace that during the bulk of his time at Crystal Palace has held them in a situation where offensively he's been their one option. Not in goals, but in terms of actual danger. I do agree. But they're all doing it. Jack Grealish spends more time rolling around on the floor. They're all doing it. I'm in the same camp as you, but sometimes I think Wilf's got a little bit too much of it. I would rather him do things in a certain way.
The difference is Manchester City were prepared to pay £100 million for Jack Grealish.
And there it is.
And that's the nub of it.
But yes, but also
nobody's prepared to come in and take a risk in Zaha.
No, but Man United
paid.
Yeah, but Arsenal. Everybody knows that Arsenal wanted Zaha in 2019. Everybody knows it, but they were not going to pay what Palace wanted. Palace was said, "Well, we're not selling him to you for 30 million quid." No, thank you very much. You don't get to do what you've done to us previously when you bought Ian Wright off us and people like that. You don't get to do that. You get to pay the market price.
If Arsenal really wanted Zaha, they would have paid it.
Well, Arsenal at that time...
They paid £72 million for Pepe.
Yes, and why? Because they paid it over 5 or 6 years. They got it on the drip. That's why they bought Pepe. And how did that work out for them?
This is the only option now that's left for Zaha, is it not?
No.
In terms of big earnings...
No. It's a free transfer.
Until he goes.
No. It's a free transfer. So in the event that he doesn't sign for Palace, which I don't expect him to do, there's going to be an embarrassment of riches, because they're going to take a punt on Zaha, because it's going to cost them nothing from a capital outlay. Zaha can rock in the door and say, right, I want £200,000 a week in English football and I want to play for XYZ club and I'm a free transfer. Within reason, there's going to be a bunch of football clubs that would look at it and say, that's an educated punt. Now, whether
you were top of the queue when you battered Gareth Bale for going to LA. LAFC.
But Wilfried Zaha,
good riddance to you, because you're out there just to make some dough in the twilight of your career. Not that Gareth needed it, nor does Zaha.
No, I didn't.
But
say
that's what Wilf's doing.
Hold on. Let's characterise that properly. What I said was, if you're going to prepare for a World Cup for your nation and the hopes of the country are landing on your shoulders, what are you doing going playing in some half-baked football in America rather than playing in competitive football and being available to play in a competitive fashion? And so it proved to be. And we also got the backdrop of Gareth Bale, where we see this situation where there is a scenario where his game time has been limited by his fallout with Real Madrid, and I think he's wasted some of his talent. Now, I'm not going to put Wilfried Zaha in the same breath as Gareth Bale's achievements. Gareth Bale has won the Champions League two or three times.
So I do
think Wilfried Zaha could have played for Real Madrid. He's that good.
Could have.
He's that good.
Could have.
Could have. Yeah, could have.
Could have, would have, should have.
Who guided his career? Maybe if he had some ghastly individual like Keir Jarapsian rolling around pushing him everywhere, then maybe he'd get better opportunities.
So where's his credibility if he disappears off to the dunes in the desert?
In the eyes of whom?
In the eyes of everybody, in the perception of everybody who observes the English game.
You mean everybody?
What does it tell you that he's, I'm off to the desert because they're offering me 320 grand a week?
Yes, you mean in the eyes of everybody that's not particularly relevant. Wilfried Zaha, I don't think should go to Saudi. I don't. I think I'd much prefer him operating at the highest level because I know he's good enough. If he chooses at this stage in his career, at 30, 31 years of age, to run after 15 million quid when he can probably get seven or eight...
He can't be blamed for that, I agree.
You know, people got to be commercially viable about it. But notwithstanding that, if Wilfried Zaha is happy with his career, who are you, who are I, and who are all of these know-nothings about what Wilfried Zaha's worldview is to tell him what he should and shouldn't do? If it stops him playing from Ivory Coast...
You give this guy a pass for some reason. I don't know why. It's because of your Palace connection.
No, I give him a pass because I think in this instance, he's got a right to make a decision. You know, the bottom line is that... What about Oscar? When Oscar slung his hook out of Chelsea to go and play in the...
If Gareth Bale had gone to Al Ittihad or whoever they are, you would have said, nah, I'm not having that. What's he doing going out there other than for a huge bag of money?
I couldn't give a monkey's where Gareth Bale goes, but only in the context of a question about what Gareth Bale's contribution to the World Cup was going to be for the Welsh. I couldn't give a monkey's about how the Welsh got on in the World Cup, quite frankly. You know, but the bottom line is...
That's why that Welsh guy had a mouthful at you.
Well, absolutely, and that's why I cleaned my shoes with a Welsh shirt and how Robson Kano got all upset about it. But that's a different discussion. The comparison for Wilfried Zaha and Gareth Bale is one thing, but don't be under any illusion that Wilfried Zaha is not a top footballer.
100% engagement.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back each weekday to bring you the best of the show.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.